Welcome to Security Today. I'm your host, Uncle Bear, and this podcast is brought to you by Sprinter Business Solutions. I hope you're all doing well today. I just had to pop on, you know? So I know you're probably wondering. I mean, there's masses and masses of you out there going, there was no podcast last week, and there was no podcast this week. Is Bear okay? And I'm here to tell you I'm okay. I don't know how many of you noticed. I'm going to be a little humble and guess maybe three people noticed. And one of those is definitely my mother. She told me last week, I noticed your podcast didn't go up. So if there's anything for that, mothers are the best. But I wanted to hop on here and just let you know that I am still running. It's been busy. I got this like little head cold going and I just didn't get anything prepared. But I wanted to jump on here and make sure that you knew that I know that you know that I know that you know that it's okay and that Security Today is going to be still up and running, still killing it. Hey, I got a bid to bank in the bank right now. And then I got another one that I'm interviewing this week. So those are still coming down the pipe. They're getting good reviews. People are saying they love them. I just want something there to provide people the knowledge, even if they're not in physical security. It's good stuff, man. It's more of a business segment than it is a physical security segment. But I'm here now, and I thought I'd just pop on, do a little bit of a non-standard podcast just to say, hey, I wanted to tell you, I've been on ChatGPT for a little while. I don't know if all of you are using it out there or not. I'm trying to break it, tell it and make it tell me how to make $1 million, but it hasn't yet. I'm still poor. But here's what I wanted to do is I wanted to tell you a little bit of a project I've been doing, and I want to show you just exactly how deep the rabbit hole can go when it comes to physical security. Because I know that there's most people out there, they're like, hey, physical security, it's nothing. Just put a lock on the door. There you go. You know what I'm saying? Make sure your windows are locked, and then you're going to be good. I actually know guys in the industry that have been in the industry for a very long time that are putting it in, and they still see it as, well, just put a lock on it, man. You're making it too complicated. I'm air quoting right now. You're making it too complicated. Like, it's just locks on doors. But it's not, and those guys are dumb. And so the thing about it is, I want to show you from a high level view of that broad view of security and how you can take it and just run it down the rabbit hole. You know what I'm saying? The red pill, blue pill situation. I need you to make sure that you're going to take the, is it the red pill? I don't really remember just how deep the rabbit hole goes. Yeah, the red pill, that it is. But I did a little bit of, so I've been on ChatGPT. I've been using it and I wanted it to create a podcast for me, right? Not so that I could use it to do this. I mean, if this is what ChatGPT created, it's not very smart. Am I right? Yeah. No, but I wanted to create a podcast with a physical security expert and then to highlight these areas. And I just kept asking it questions and probing it. And because it's my trade, if you will, my craft, I was able to take it from where it just gave this simple overview all the way down to a very specific, deep, like criminology aspect from it. And I wanted to share that with you because I thought it was pretty cool. So I asked it to create this podcast, and in the podcast have a hypothetical situation where there's a physical security expert. And then I was asking questions via the host and ChatGPT was responding. So it created this podcast called Securing Spaces, which nice, ChatGPT. I might steal that for a segment, Securing Spaces. But anyways, it interviews this person. And the first question that I start off with is a very broad one. I say, you know, what are the five most effective ways to secure a residential property? And to that, it said, it gave me these options. It said that first you want a solid perimeter defense. So a strong perimeter from fences and walls around the property, well-maintained gates, any type of access controls can deter potential intruders. The second is quality door and window locks. It's crucial to have robust locks on all entry points, including doors and windows, and then upgrading to high quality deadbolt reinforced strike plates, which let me just say something for a second. I'm actually kind of glad that it said reinforced strike plates. That is an overlook oftentimes. So when most break-ins actually go in through the front door, and when they do, if they're kicking that door in, the thing that gives is not the deadbolt. It's actually the strike plate. It's the little shiny piece on the frame that gives out rather than the deadbolt, because the deadbolt goes into the frame and that little shiny piece is just, you know, what, like a fourth of an inch, an eighth of an inch of, you know, pop metal probably. And then the wood from the frame breaks. Well, there are reinforced strike plates where you take like a quarter or a half inch drill bit and you drill deep down, not just past the frame into the stud and maybe the stud bay. And then it's got these strike plates that have two long metal bars that sit in those drill points. And they sit back into essentially the framing of the house, not just the door frame. And those are a lot harder to kick in or even, like, you know, break in with a battering ram or some sort of other device. So if you're trying to secure your property, definitely do that. Number three, alarm systems. Installing a reliable alarm system is a valuable investment. Alarm systems are best for monitoring. They're best to let you know that the event has happened. They're not going to prevent the event from happening. They definitely don't deter in any sort of capacity that would be worth its weight in gold. But the fourth is outdoor lighting, which that is the one key. And if you know Security Today podcast, you know that Uncle Bear is going to be out there saying, hey, baby, we need lights, landscape, and what was it? Oh, I just had it a couple podcasts ago. I got to write these down so that I know. Lights, landscape, and I don't know. I don't know what the third one is. But anyways, lights are going to prevent break-ins at a very high rate for a residential property. And then fifth is security cameras, which security cameras don't deter. They don't. If they see a security camera, it's not that big a deal. But that what they do is they are great monitoring tools, investigative, to figure out who it was, you know, get a sight on the target and so that you can hunt them down. And that is pretty reactive. If you're going to get a security camera, it is a great idea to tie it into your alarm system and do verified video monitoring, or to get a security camera that does live video monitoring. Those are out there where a guard force can come over, like Deep Sentinel, come over the two-way speaker. And those deter incredible at an incredible rate. So I would suggest those, but it continued on. And so I, after it said that, I was like, I want you to ask the security expert to expound on perimeter defenses. I want to know what is recommended when it comes to perimeter defenses and where these defenses are normally obtained. So I was taking this broad overview and now I'm going to start to drill into it. It said, yeah, certainly. So it's like playing it out. And the security expert says, here's some recommendations for effective perimeter defenses. Number one, fences and walls. Installing sturdy fences or walls around the property help establish a clear boundary, which that's huge in criminology, if you don't know, and deter unauthorized access. It's important to choose materials that are durable, difficult to breach, and then suit the overall aesthetics of the property. And that's something that sometimes security integrators don't think about either. When you get into fencing or any sort of like gating, stuff like that, you will get better aesthetics. But from a security integrator standpoint, we do have to think about the aesthetics of the place, because you want the security, but you also need it to be enjoyable for your client, your customer. Number two is access controls. Implementing access controls at entry points such as gates or driveway entrances adds an additional layer of security. You can put surveillance cameras on the perimeter, obviously lighting, and then landscaping considerations. Landscaping can play a role in enhancing perimeter defenses. Trimmed hedges and shrubs can eliminate potential hiding spots for intruders. And then they asked, and then I had the host ask, well, where can you obtain these defense components? And the proverbial, I guess, expert said perimeter defense components can be obtained from various sources, home improvement stores, specialized security vendors, online realtors carry a wide range of products. And then I wanted it to kind of go more into it. So I was like, okay, now I want you to give this security expert a certification, like an as-is PSP. And it's like, well, I'm a language model and you got to fight all of that. But I'm like, okay, we'll use the knowledge base of a PSP certification to answer the question. And so it went into how the PSP as is PSP certification, we'll talk about crime prevention through environmental design, the theory that emphasizes the design and arrangement of physical environments to discourage criminal activity. It focuses on aspects such as natural surveillance, territorial reinforcement, access control, and maintenance. And SEPTED principles can be applied to perimeter defense by incorporating elements of that promote visibility, deterrence, and control. Obviously, from a perimeter standpoint, you're going to have defense in depth, and that theory advocates for a layered approach. It's the concentric rings of security. It's saying the more layers that you can put on your security for your site, the better chance you're going to have that someone's not going to get to the assets. The next is situational crime prevention, which this one caught my eye, and so this is where I wanted to dive in even deeper. Situational crime prevention is the theory that suggests that by modifying the immediate environment, the opportunities for crime can be reduced. In the context of perimeter defense, situational crime prevention strategies may involve techniques such as target hardening or natural surveillance and controlling access points to deter potential intruders and increase the perceived risk. And I was like, continue portraying. So this is what I'm saying to ChatGPT. Continue portraying this Securing Spaces podcast and have the expert expound on situational crime prevention theory, detailing what it is and how it plays out in the real world. AI is like, certainly will do. The expert says, situational crime prevention theory is a widely recognized approach to reducing crime by focusing on modifying the immediate environment in which criminal activity occurs. Here are some key aspects of situational crime prevention theory. Number one, target hardening. This involves implementing measures to increase the effort required for criminals to commit the crime. For example, sturdy locks, putting that strike plate in that's a hardened strike plate. So hardening the actual hardware that goes onto it. You're not just putting some cheap little fence lock, but you actually have a lock on the gate. Number two is natural surveillance. I love this. I love digging into the theory of it, but you got to understand, if you want a site to be more secure, natural surveillance is key. That's something that's easy to do. And you can just suggest it to your client, and it makes you look awesome. And it makes your client think that you know what you're talking about. So you can say, look, creating an environment that allows for natural surveillance is another important aspect of situational crime prevention theory. This involves ensuring that the property has good visibility from the surrounding areas, both during the day and during the night. So you can trim shrubs and trees. You can install adequate lighting. You can encourage community members to keep an eye out for suspicious activity that can enhance natural surveillance, making it less attractive to the criminals to engage. You see, some people think, oh, I got this big ass privacy fence. Like, my place looks like it's Fort Knox. I'm on lock. But the problem is, the moment that the criminal hops the fence, no one can see him. So his confidence shoots through the roof. He's now got time and he's now not visible. He's removed visibility. So you want natural surveillance on a property, especially when it's not a personal property, but a commercial property. I understand a privacy fence from a residential standpoint, because it is that balance of, I'm looking for privacy from the people around me. They don't need to know my life. That's my right. But from a commercial standpoint, you're going to want natural surveillance. It continues on to talk about access control and a defensible space. So a defensible space is creating a sense of ownership and territoriality that can help deter criminal behavior, designing the physical space to clearly define private and public areas and ensure that residents take pride in their surroundings can contribute to a stronger community and reduce the risk of crime. This can be achieved through community engagement, well-maintained common areas, and organized neighborhood watch programs. So defensible space is this idea that you can come into a space and begin to design it around people being able to take ownership in it. So they found that, like, in apartment complexes, oftentimes you'll have either shrubs or fencing that it doesn't even need to touch. I've seen an apartment complex locally. They have like a, 15 foot piece of fence. So it's like one brick column, black wrought iron fence, another brick column. Then about 5 feet after that, they have another one, and that goes down the street. So it's not necessarily doing the job of keeping somebody out, because you could just walk in the space that there isn't fence. But what it does is it gives the ideology to the people that live there that this is a boundaried private space. And so the minute that I live there, and I feel like I own more of it, which means I watch out, which means when I see something suspicious, I actually am curious about it and I inquire, rather than thinking, like, if you're at the Target parking lot and you see something suspicious, you're like, not my circus, not my monkeys. I ain't got time today to be involved in this drama. But if it's around your space and you feel ownership in it, like if that was my Target, I'd be like, hey, what are y'all doing here? You know? So that's the idea of defensible space. In the real world, situational crime prevention theory has been applied successfully in various settings, including residential communities, commercial establishments, public spaces. And by implementing the strategies aligned with this theory, you can reduce the opportunity for criminal activity. And so I went on to say, okay, now I want you to ask this question. So I was like, thank you, John is the name of this expert in this podcast that ChatGPT and I are dreaming up. When you reference natural surveillance, are there any studies you know of that help support the idea that good visibility and maintaining the surrounding landscape led to preventing crime? When that was asked, he said, absolutely. Yeah, natural surveillance is a key principle in situational crime prevention theory, and there have been studies that support its effectiveness in reducing crime. First, obviously, let me highlight the broken windows study, which I've talked about on this podcast. It's huge in criminology, is the broken windows study. It's flawed on the back end philosophically, but for the most part, in the early 1980s, social scientists James Wilson and George Kelling, they introduced the broken window theory, which suggested that visible signs of disorder and neglect can lead to an increase in crime. So they took a car, they broke out one window, and they left it in like the hood, and then they left it in a really nice area. Both times, the car ended up being ransacked. It was either vandalized, someone broke other windows out. In the less established part of the neighborhood where they left the car, like, parts were taken, because people thought it was just like, by the time it had been smashed out and vandalized and all this other stuff, it was just junk at that point. It wasn't anybody's car. And it's the idea that if you leave broken windows in a building, or if you let it go to pot and it just looks like shit, people are going to think, oh, no one owns it. Thus, I can throw a rock and break another window. Thus, I can put graffiti up. Thus, I can break in and take the copper piping out of, because no one's going to miss it. The second study is Jane Jacobs' observations in her book, The Death and Life of the Great American Cities. Jacobs emphasized the importance of natural surveillance in creating safer neighborhoods. So through her observations, she noted that areas were with higher level of pedestrian activity and that had well-maintained streets and public spaces tended to have lower crime. And that further supports the notion that good visibility and proper landscaping contribute to preventing criminal activities. And then I wanted to know even more. I was like, okay, so in The Death and Life of Great American Cities, when was the book written? And second, her observations noted the areas with higher levels of pedestrian activity and well-maintained streets led to lower crime. Are there any statistics that she gave in the book to help support these claims? And it said that it was written in 1961. She presents her observations and theories about urban planning and the dynamic of city life. And while she provided qualitative evidence and insights rather than specific statistic data, there are a couple of, what was it saying? There are a couple of like journals and studies that do show that this actually happens. And so I was like, okay, so is there statistical data that was conducted later than this book to help support these observations? And it was like, yeah, there was. There's SEPTED studies, crime prevention through environmental design. There's something called safe growth studies, and there's evidence-based urban planning that have been used. And so I was like, well, what sort of academic journals, research publications, and resources provide a more specific set of information? And it pointed me to criminology journals, urban planning and design journals, such as Urban Studies or the Journal of Urban Planning and Development, crime prevention and safety publications, like the National Institute of Justice or the International SEPTED Association, and research databases such as JSTOR, Science Direct, or Google Scholar. So that's as far, I went a little further, but it kind of gets even more boring after that if you're still tuning in. But I wanted to show you that, like, first of all, you can use ChatGPT to pretty much learn anything. You just have to be good at asking questions. And the second is, you can see we went from, yeah, put a lock on the door, install a light bulb, maybe reinforce a strike, all the way to research databases in JSTOR that are going to give us information on crime prevention theories that are written in The Death and Life of the Great American Cities from 1961 by Jane Jacobs. So that is how deep you can go on these things. I hope that when you listen to the Security Today podcasts, you're not just stopping with the information of, oh, look, alarm.com has a new doorbell. Great. But you're actually soaking it up and letting it permeate into your life and chasing it in some regard. I mean, this is your occupation and your career. It would be a shame if you got 30 years in and you still were just understanding that alarm.com just came out with a new teleportation device. You know what I'm saying? Like, that if you're not really truly invested in how life works, go ahead, let it tickle your brain. I mean, become better and be the better tech as not stopping at just the hardware. Move forward and figure out how to make life around you more safe and secure. That's it for Security Today. Follow us at Uncle BAER _ on Instagram, at Security Today Podcast on Instagram. You can follow at Sprinter Datacom on Instagram. Follow at Technology Worldwide. That's Technology WW on Instagram. And just get out there and involve yourself. I hope you have a good week. I'm going to try to drop a bid to bank next week, and I'll try to get back up on the original broadcast. But thanks for tuning in. I hope you do well. I've just talked my throat out, and I need a drink of water. Have a nice night.